All right. Divine Helper. Divine Helper. Promised by the Father. Sent by Christ Jesus to all mankind on the day of Pentecost following his resurrection. For the purpose of urging the sinner to repent and believe in Christ Jesus for salvation and be resurrected from spiritual death to walk in a newness of life. Does that fairly well sum up what we've talked about so far in our studies? I'm going to be careful with these summaries so that you don't hear them and then, you know, walk out the door and then come back next week and then hear the summary. But I think that's a fairly well put summary of the last 4 or 5 weeks. There's a lot of meat and potatoes there. But from there, we'll move on. We'll move on. Do you remember this verse from last week? 1 Corinthians 6:11. I said there were several things that happen simultaneously when a sinner is converted to sainthood. For one, his debt of punishment for not fulfilling his obligation of righteousness is canceled. And he now stands justified before the law of God because Jesus Christ fulfilled the righteousness of God on his behalf. We also learned that a once spiritually dead sinner was regenerated, renewed, recreated, resurrected from spiritual death, and made alive toward God. Now we're going to talk about this sanctification stuff. Sanctification happens in the moment of conversion, but it continues throughout the lifetime of the convert. One of my favorite hymns is Bill Gaither's The Family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. We're a part of the family of God. When the saint's sins are washed away, and he's reborn of the Spirit. That Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, now lives within him. And that Spirit is testifying to God of the fact that that saint is now his child. Paul puts it this way to the Galatians in chapter 4. God sent forth his Son so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In terms of in terms of Colossians, the first chapter, we are rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of Christ. This is initial sanctification. This happens in the moment of conversion. Okay? But I said last week that we were going to talk about the process of conversion, the ongoingness. So what is the Holy Spirit's ongoing work of sanctification? Well, I'm very glad you asked. And I'm very happy to answer. First, let me emphasize that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Okay? He is in you. He is in your body, in your heart, right now. He is in you. He came into you when you were baptized, and now he's testifying to the Father that you are a co-heir to the kingdom of God with Christ because you are his brother. And therefore, you are a son of God. And that is a fact. If you are a reborn, sanctified, justified believer, Paul continues to the Galatian church and he says, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son because you are sons. And by that Spirit, we now cry out, Abba, Father. You know, we address God the Father exactly how Jesus does. Because we are his sons. I'm not going to dwell on this indwelling. God promised it, Ezekiel 36, we know that. He's given it, and we know that. Now the Spirit lives in you. That's the fact. End the story. Case closed. He's in. What is he doing in you? That's the question. Why is he there? What's the purpose of his indwelling? Well, it's to sanctify you. I'm not going to keep on using that word without defining it. So here we go. He's there to sanctify you. Sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is basically the same concept as holiness. Okay, the Hebrew word is kadesh, and it means to cut or to divide or to separate. So a holy person or a holy thing is one that is separate from or divided from or set apart from something that is not. Okay, the Greek verb agiazo, it means to separate, to set something aside specifically for ritual purposes, for purposes of consecration or dedication, for divinity. Okay? It means to make holy. To make holy. And you were sanctified. And the aortus tense of this verb means that it is a past action that has been completed. You were sanctified. Now you are set apart for holy purposes. You're a holy one. You are a separate one, a set apart one, a saint. All Christians are saints. This is all initial sanctification, and that's the first blank on your outline. I don't have a slide for that blank, but this is all initial sanctification. There is, though, a continuing transformation that takes place in the Christian as he becomes more and more separated from sin. And we might call this progressive sanctification or continual sanctification. Okay? This is the primary work of the Holy Spirit within you. This is his main job working within you right now today to empower your volition and your action to will and work for God's glory. That's sanctification. And that's the main event. See, the standard set from the beginning was perfection. Nothing less will enter the gates of heaven. Over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament, God calls his people to be holy. You are to be holy, men, to me. Be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Be holy, for I am holy. Be holy, God says, over and over. These are all in the Old Testament, and you say to me, well, Adam, we're New Testament Christians. Yes, of course we are, and the teaching is the same in the New Testament. God chose us in Christ so that we would be holy, so that Christ could present the church to God holy and blameless. Be like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves, therefore, for it is written, be holy as I am holy. Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. The point is that God has not chosen us. He has not called us for impurity, but to be holy, even as He is holy. And the Holy Spirit accomplishes this work of sanctification in making us holy. But how does He do it? How does He do it? He does it by empowering the saints to obey God and to do good works. I have the power is the title of the sermon today. I was searching for a title all week this week. And for some reason, Dolph Lundgren came to mind. And he had the, you know, the He-Man movie from back in the 80s. I have the power. You have the power. You have the power, okay? That's why I called it this. You'll find this out. We have the power. The Holy Spirit accomplishes this progressive work of sanctification by empowering us to obey God's will and do good works. Our text this morning from Romans chapter 8 says that if we are living according to the flesh, then we will die. We must die. But if we are, by the Spirit, putting to death the deeds of the body, then we will live. This is sanctification in terms of death. This is the negative terminology used to talk about sanctification in the Bible. It's putting sin to death in our lives. Okay? Do you remember from last week, our text in Romans 6 said that our old self was crucified, our body of sin was done away with so that we no longer be slaves to sin? Okay, this is all talking about sanctification in negative terms. And we are no longer slaves to sin, right? Because we have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life dwelling within us. And He sets us free from the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? But on the other hand, Adam, saints, sin. That's the fact, right? That's the fact. On the other hand, saints, sins. And this is just the raging war that is distressing Paul in Romans chapter 7. See, on the one hand, with his mind, he's serving the law of God. But on the other hand, he's serving the law of sin with his body. And he cries out and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? You know what the good news is? The Holy Spirit. Because in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation, for the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Paul prays this prayer on behalf of the Ephesian church. It says, Father in heaven, according to the riches of your glory, grant them to be strengthened with power through the Spirit of Christ in their innermost being, in their spirits. Do you see now? The Holy Spirit is providing the moral power to overcome the deeds of the flesh and radiate holy fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit provides the power to sin less and love more. How does he do it? Man, you guys are full of good questions. You guys are full of good questions. How does he do it? Heaven, it's like you're leading us to these questions. How does he do it? The scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit's sanctification work in terms of leading the saints of God. In terms of leading the saints of God. See, our text this morning, Romans 8:13, says that if you're living by the flesh, then you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. And then it says, all who are being led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, we've already made the connection between saints and sons. Okay? Now, we make a connection between sons who are led by the Spirit of God. Okay? So, saints are sons and are led by the Spirit of God. Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 16, that if we walk by the Spirit, then we will not carry out the deeds of the flesh. And then, remember, if you're in Galatians 5:16, you'll see this is true. In verses 19 through 21, then he goes on to describe what some of the deeds of the flesh are. Right? They're evident, and they're all these things. And then he goes on and he contrasts that with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. And then, in verse 25 of Galatians 5, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Stoikeo is the Greek there, and I don't want to lose you, but this is important. Let us walk. Stoikeo, the Greek, means to be in line with as a standard of conduct. Okay, so living by the Spirit is that resurrection from death unto life. The Spirit of life gives life to the saint, to the Christian. Walking by the Spirit, then, if that word means to be in line with as a standard of conduct, this is talking about our behavior. This is talking about how we act. Okay, so we are, if we live by the Spirit, okay, if you've been regenerated, we are to walk, to be in line with the Holy Spirit's standard of conduct. Well, how do we know what the Holy Spirit's standard of conduct is? Good news. He wrote it down. He wrote it down through the inspired prophets. Scripture is his standard. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't lead by magically or transcendentally revealing knowledge when you're in a difficult circumstance and you're asking, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And if you're reticent to listen, then you may hear the Holy Spirit say, well, you should definitely not do this. Perhaps not that, but you should probably do this. He doesn't enlighten individuals with the specific will of God in certain situations. Okay, the will of God is adequately revealed in the pages of Scripture. What the Holy Spirit is doing, if we are using and hiding His Word in our hearts to be careful to do what is written in them, what the Holy Spirit does is gently take our hand and pull us toward and along the path of righteousness. You remember that all Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 is God-breathed, is inspired by God, but it's profitable, it's useful for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. See, the Holy Spirit is pulling us toward the path of righteousness when He's teaching us or rebuking us or correcting us. He's pulling us along the path of righteousness when He's training us. That's how the Holy Spirit leads. We are also instructed, commanded, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is in part how the Holy Spirit sanctifies. Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. what's going on here? Paul's contrasting a negative with a positive. The negative, obviously, is being drunk with wine. The positive is being filled with the Holy Spirit. We all know that alcohol can have deteriorating effects and destructive effects on both the body and the life. For example, it starts to kill the livers, brain cells, and so on. It destroys relationships, ruins marriages, and so on and so forth. We don't need to get into that. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, promotes the health of the body. We treat our bodies as temples, as living sacrifices. We're now concerned with, for the glory of God, the health of our body. The Holy Spirit has a tendency to heal broken marriages. So the contrast is seen between something that destroys life and something that gives life. So the point here is not the main point. Here is not don't drink. The main point is you have a choice and a responsibility to make that choice. To either submit to or surrender to or resist the work of the Holy Spirit to make you more like Christ. Being filled with the Spirit, it's not a second act of grace. It's not a post-conversion re-baptism in the Holy Spirit for the rest of the power that was withheld from you. At the beginning, that's not it. The being filled with the Holy Spirit is your choice to submit to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. You might hear the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart, saying, "Hey, you remember me? You know, the guy Jesus Christ sent to live in you, I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still guiding you. Are you listening? Are you listening? If you can hear me, listen up. Listen up. Follow my instruction, and you will be whole. You will be careful to observe the ordinances of the Lord your God. Listen to me. Heed my instruction. Do them, and I will empower you to put to death the deeds of the body." This is how the Holy Spirit sanctifies. And the command that Paul gives to be filled, it's to you, okay? Be filled. It's in the present tense. It means be filled now and continue to be filled. The action is imperative. It has to be accomplished. If we are to walk by the Spirit, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why must we continually surrender to the Holy Spirit's sanctifying work within us? Well, point number one is, this is the only way that God is working the good work of conforming you to Christ's image. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is how God is making you like Christ. But there's another aspect, and I think it's important because Paul thinks it's important, therefore the Holy Spirit thinks it's important. It's that emotional level. In Ephesians chapter 4, about halfway through, Paul starts describing the Christian life, setting it against the worldly life, describing the differences, and so on and so forth. Ephesians 4:30, Paul writes something interesting. He says, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's toward the end of chapter 4. In chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Be imitators of God." Imitators of God, like little children. And then he says, walk in love, just like Jesus loved you and gave himself for you. Then you read on a little bit further in chapter 5, verse 15. He says, walk as wise, not as unwise. Then in verse 18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. And then in verse 20, he says, in all things, thank God in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ. So don't grieve the Spirit. Be imitators of God like little children. Don't be unwise. Be wise. Be filled with the Spirit and thank God in all things. See, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we ignore his work of sanctification and continue in our own sins. That makes the Holy Spirit very, very sad because he cannot complete and continue the work of God to make you holy as he is holy. And that's what sanctification is. Becoming holy. Adam, that's all fine and good. And thank you for all that knowledge. But what? I want to close this morning. And I want to give you 7 points. And I'll do this very quickly. I promise. This isn't one of those things where I say I'll do it very quickly and then take forever. But I am going to do this. I'm going to do this quite quickly. Okay? But I want to give you some helpful tips because I think the problem is not so much what is sanctification. I think the problem that we face more times than not is how do I harness the power? How do I harness the power, right? I know God wants me to be holy. I know he's trying to conform me into the image of his son. How do I, because remember our text, now this is important, if you by the Spirit are putting the deeds of the flesh to death, you are doing these things. How do I do it? Be informed. Be informed. If we are to be holy as God is holy, then we need to know what holy is. Search the scriptures and figure out what constitutes sin and holiness. Okay? Be aware. Be aware that the Holy Spirit is in you. He is in you. How do I know he's in me? Because God promised him. And that should be enough. But then there's more because there's evidence of his sanctifying work in your life. And that is the radiant holy fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He is in you. Why is he there? That's the whole purpose of today's message. To sanctify you. To help you become holy. To empower you to obey God and do good works. Be aware. Be determined. Be determined. A sincere desire to be holy is essential to harnessing the power of the Holy Spirit in becoming holy. Okay? Be submissive. When pride comes, then comes dishonor. Pride comes before the fall, destruction. This is no time for my way or the highway. This is time for the narrow way. Because the way is broad that leads to destruction. This was created by God. Believe. Believe that. Believe in. Believe that. The Holy Spirit can provide the power necessary for you to obey God and do good works. Believe that he can. Trust in him to do his work. Believe. Be obedient. This is where the rubber meets the road. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas in our home now. Sarah's done some decorating. Did a bit of decorating. And I was thinking of some of the old time Christmas movies that we'll be watching this season. Santa Claus Is Coming to Town, or Kris Kringle sings that song, and the Winter Warlock is there, put one foot in front of the other. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I like that one. Take action. Make decision. Make the effort. Resist the temptation and do what is right. Be obedient. Be thankful. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Be obedient. For it is God who is at work in you. It is God who is at work in you. Be thankful. Give credit and praise where credit and praise are due. And finally, this is not a separate step, but accomplish all these things in conjunction with prayer. Accomplish all these things in conjunction with prayer. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with prayer, in all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your hearts, let your requests be made known to God. Help me to learn, Father, what is sin and what is holy. Help me to believe the Spirit's presence in me, what He can do. Help me to desire holiness with all of me. Help me to submit. Help me to believe. Help me to obey. And never let me forget, Lord God, that You are working within me. And my prayer will be that the God of all grace will grant you to be strengthened with power in your spirit to want and to do what is holy for God's glory. Because His name is exalted as the name above all names in heaven and on earth. His dominion is complete. His dominion is forever. His dominion is forever. His kingdom reigns forevermore.